can make you do it. Makes us all the better, faster, stronger.
Campbell on second down and 5.5. Looks right. Comes back to the left. Going long for Gordon. He's out there and he caught the ball at the 20, at the 15, 10, 5, touchdown.
Unbelievable catch, unbelievable throw.
Coming to you live from Browns headquarters in Berea, Ohio, this is Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Takes the snap, Dalton back, looking near side, throws it, picked off, and an open run. It's Joe Hayden, and he's in, touchdown.
And now, here are your hosts, Vic Carucci and Nathan Zagora.
Football Friday, putting the capper on Steeler Week. Steeler Week is upon us. The game.
Steeler Week. Let's
almost
go.
Almost here. Let's go is right. Coming up on Sunday, Browns and the Steelers. We're going to talk much more about that. And guess what? We're going to have an alumni in the house. Eric Metcalf going to stop by.
I love Eric Metcalf. Last time we had him, I remember in the preseason we had him on.
That's right.
Love Eric Metcalf. Very excited about that.
So he'll be in studio with us. He's visiting. His home is out in Seattle, but he's hanging out in the building today. Got the official grand tour from both Kevin Griffin and Andy Hecht. Our guys from our group here took him around the building, and then he's going to swing by our studio. As I say, in about a half an hour, it's Call Your Shot Friday. So call your shot on this game. Give us a call at 216-578-0850. Tweet us at Browns_daily or at Nathan's address at NathanZegura at VICCARUCCI. Tweet Carly McCord. She's part of this group here at CARLEYMCCORD.
She's rocking a pretty sweet LSU jersey, by the way, and she's got her purple jacket on.
Tell us about this jersey, Carly.
It's actually one of my good friends, Seth Frugier. He is a specialist for LSU. He starts on kickoffs. He's also the holder for the field goal kicker. So last time I wore his jersey, they won. And I want to teach everyone today on air how to spell go correctly. It's G-E-A-U-X, right, Dave?
Dave DiNatale is all in. You're all into go spelled with the spell guck, right?
Well, you know, she's trained me well. I've been paying attention on Twitter and everything.
I've been noticing that on
Gawks
Twitter.
Browns. All right.
Carly's getting it done.
We're good with that. Also, we're going to hear in this show from Greg Little. He's going to be on with Jameer Howerton from ClevelandBrowns.com. Sat down with him. It'll be our Inside the Locker Room segment. And we're going to have some sound, DeQuell Jackson, some good locker room sound that we had from him. And we're also going to do what we love to do on Fridays. It's our Friday forecast, where we tell you exactly what we think the outcome of this game is going to be and break it down from multiple elements with Dave DiNatale, our outstanding producer, walking us through that.
And it's Steeler Week. I mean, that really is the overarching theme. The Browns still, despite the fact that they had a letdown last weekend, have an opportunity to get it done this Sunday against the Steelers and stay very much alive in the AFC North and very much alive in the AFC wild card, but they must win this game against the Steelers. It's a big one, and it's interesting. We get to be in this building every week. This week, there was a little bit of a hangover early in the week.
No doubt.
The most palpable one I've sensed of the whole season. But as the week went on, you saw the clear shift in focus to the Steelers. And now there's a little bit of excitement again back in the building on Friday. And we want to hear your excitement as well. 216-578-0850 or tweet us at Browns_daily on a Call Your Shot Friday. Obviously, we're going to call our shots later on in the show. But, you know, it's Steeler Week. And this is, for me, very exciting. I've been to many of the Steeler games in the past,
right,
including the one that was referenced a couple years ago when it was freezing. It was a Thursday night game, if I'm not mistaken.
Yep.
And it was absolutely horrendous conditions. Not going to be much better this weekend, though, they're saying in the 20s. You can bring blankets. Remember to just kind of pop them over your shoulder, as Notorious demonstrated yesterday, over your shoulder at the point of ingress so that you can get into the stadium easily.
So that you can egress with your blanket.
After the fact, yes. That's how I understand the ingress and egress work.
That's right. It's going to be it's going to be a football day. I think we've been blessed with some pretty darn good weather, but I think this one's going to feel a little bit different with possibly, I guess, from lake effect snow, a little bit of a grayish, coldish kind of day, maybe colder than coldish. But so what? I mean, I think that's what's at stake. I've been on with a couple of radio stations in Pittsburgh this week who've had me on to talk about the Browns, just as we bring on Pittsburgh guests. And And it's interesting, Nathan, in each case, the weather was the topic. And it's funny because, as I understand it, the weather's not that much different between here and Pittsburgh. I don't hang out in Pittsburgh a ton, but I've been there more than enough times. It's pretty damn similar.
Acting like it's very different, like this is the frozen tundra.
Yeah. I mean, just because it is on the lake I know that has some effect, lake effect, but it's not the same. I mean, it's not that much different. And I spent a lot of years in Buffalo, and I look at Buffalo, Pittsburgh, and Cleveland climate-wise, basically in many other ways, is the same thing. It's the same city. You're doing kind of the same thing, same type of people, hardy people who deal with the weather, who go to games bundled up, who know what they're in for on a cold day. Now, from a player standpoint, and I do remember you referenced that Thursday night game, it didn't seem like the Steelers wanted any part of that weather, especially Ben Roethlisberger. And I know he's like since had this tradition of the tunnel warm-up, but I thought that day, the tunnel warm-up, and then hovering as many players were from the Steelers around those blast furnaces on the sideline, those portable heaters, it told me that they just psychologically, they were beaten before the game started, and then they lost.
That's right, and then they did lose. And listen, the Browns at home have won two of the last four, including that game you're talking about, 13-6. And that's, I think, the reason they're focused on the weather right now is because this team knows that one of the big reasons they've kind of gone on the run they have has been it's been on the arm of Ben Roethlisberger. We talk about how bad the Browns have been running the football, 26th in the NFL, 83 yards a game, 3.8 yards a carry. Well, guess what? The Steelers have been worse. They are 30th in the NFL, averaging just 3.4 yards per carry, which is the fourth lowest yards per carry average in the league, 76.5 yards per game. They don't want this to turn into a ground-and-pound slugfest in sloppy conditions. That's not a game that's conducive to them being able to win because of the cold and because of the winds. Now, obviously, right, last week was sloppy, but they played a team that you can throw all over in Detroit, and that's what Ben was able to do. But it wasn't as cold as it's going to be on Sunday. And we know, and we heard yesterday from Gerard Jerry, when it's that cold, you don't want to hit people. You don't want to get hit necessarily. But I think that this Browns team is fired up just from being around here. They're going to want to hit people. They're going to want to get all the little bulldogs out, the little pit bulls out, as Willis McGahee said, and unleash on the Steelers. And I think that's the big concern for them. When you break it down at the end of the day, this is a Steelers team that's averaging 3.4 yards a carry. The Browns top three in the NFL in terms of yards per carry allowed at just 3.5. This is a matchup that if it turns into a game where you're going to have to ground and pound your way, that definitely favors the Browns. And I think Browns, and that's to me what I've heard, is the biggest concern for the Steelers as it relates to the weather.
I don't think there's any question about that. I think when you put these teams side by side, no, neither has a running game that should concern you as a defense. However, I think the Steelers' defensive problems against the run should allow the Browns to find a little more success, maybe a lot more success, than the Steelers would have on the ground against the Browns. And I think therein is really maybe one of the differentiations of this game, where a separation point where you could say that perhaps now they could you could foundationally build on this offensively. And again, we're making a lot of assumptions on what the weather might do to play into this. But I also would stress this. Yes, run the ball, that's important, but I would stress that it's important to stay true to what you are offensively. And I think especially for the Browns, what they can't be, Nathan, is they can't be conservative. They can't pull it in. And I don't mean with the play calling, because for the most part, I think that's been aggressive. I'm talking about Jason Campbell. I'm talking about letting it rip and just going in there and trusting that he's going to be able to make plays and not worry. I know he had the three interceptions this last game, and that's going to prey on his mind. But go back to that mentality that he had against the Ravens. Bring that back, because if you don't have that, I don't think the Browns have a chance to win.
I agree with you. It's about hitting the big plays, being aggressive. And when you look at the leaders in the NFL in terms of yards, pass plays of 40 or more yards allowed, the Cleveland Browns, they sit at 32nd. They are the best in the NFL in terms of allowing big pass plays. Only one, it was the one against the Baltimore Ravens at the end of the first half. The Steelers have already allowed 8 They have allowed 8 plays of more than 40 yards. That is tied for 8th most in the NFL. That's why the Browns have to hit those big plays. Take advantage of Troy Polamalu. He's a gambler. He's lost a step. We've seen him be exposed in coverage the last couple of games. The New England Patriots certainly did it. And, of course, the Detroit Lions did it last week. So you're right. It's not going to turn in just to a pure ground and pound, but you got to be able to set up that play action and take advantage. Hit some big plays down the seams. That's what I want to see them do. And the main guy to get back going, obviously, other than Flash Gordon, we know what Flash Gordon can do, but Jordan Cameron down the seam, going to be critical for the Browns to be able to hit him and get a big play or two out of that talented tight end.
Yes, this is going to be the return game of Jordan Cameron. I call it the return game. He gets to come back to what he was. I'm not giving up on him. I think it's easy to get skeptical and concerned over the struggles he's had of late and say, what is wrong with the guy? Well, I think he's due for an opportunity and a matchup that could favor him. And it's as much going to be on him as it is on the Browns coaches to find ways to get him open and really get him back involved in the action. It's coming back to the ball. It's those more traditional tight end routes that I think he's having his biggest problems with. The underneath stuff where he's got a defender draped on him, he's got to just, and the ball's coming at him. So there's a couple of different dynamics there. And again, he's at his best when he's running away from coverage. He's at his best when he's stemming a route. But that can't be the only thing he does to be a great tight end. Great tight ends do everything. They turn around and come to the ball, and they do the things that he's been struggling with.
Listen, the bottom line is, you are looking at a situation where this team needs someone to step up alongside Josh Gordon. Jordan Cameron is the most logical and best-equipped candidate to do so. And it's also not just on him. I'm not going to put this all on Jordan Cameron.
No.
It's about the chemistry with he and Jason Campbell. They need to get on the same page, fix those communication issues, and take some shots. Give them a chance to make plays. Remember, I think that's one of the biggest differences. Brandon Weeden, to his credit, and obviously Brian Hoyer, both gave Jordan Cameron opportunities to make plays. Go up and get the ball. Use your athleticism. I trust you, even though you're covered, that you're going to be able to outjump somebody, use your body, and make big plays. And that's what he was doing. And again, when you go back and actually watch that tape, there were some definite plays that Jordan Cameron had an opportunity, should Jason Campbell have gotten him the ball, to have an easy touchdown and to have a big play down the seam, but Campbell was not able to connect with him. I hope they take some more of those shots.
Yeah, it's trusting himself. It's Campbell trusting himself. It's Cameron trusting himself, and in their respective ways, making that happen. You can't, I don't think, go down this road with the idea that, okay, if we just play it safely, if we find the highest percentage throws, we're going to have success. It won't work that way. You've got to be able to find the, you know, you've got to be able to find the plays that are harder to find. You got to find the plays that aren't obvious to find. That's really what this
right.
is down to.
Yeah, and making those big plays. And we're going to hear, as this show progresses, from the offensive coordinator of the team, Norv Turner. That's one of the things he wants to talk about, hitting those big plays. But, you know, it is Call Your Shot Friday, Notorious.
Yeah.
And I think we should just go ahead and get right into it. People are
shots.
Already lighting up the phone lines. They're excited. Joey in Streetsboro, Call Your Shot, Brown Steelers.
Nathan Vick, what a fantastic show.
Thank you.
Couple things, if I may. I'm
yes.
going 16-13 Browns. I'm really getting irritated with Steeler fan not thinking we're a rival anymore. Here's what's going to happen. We're going to win 4 out of the next 5. We're going to go to Pittsburgh the final game of the year at 8-7 with wild card implications. And we are going to win that game. We are like the fight city, and Steeler fan, woo, baby, you got to fight. Go Brownies.
I love
go
that.
Browns. Love that.
That was a good call.
I love the whole scenario, the whole enthusiasm. And it's not just, by the way, Steeler fans that are saying that. I believe I read today that Rooney said that the rival of the Steelers is now the Baltimore Ravens and not the Cleveland Browns.
And that came up in a conversation I had on a radio show in Pittsburgh, and I disputed that heavily. I said, look, it's still a huge rivalry, and I think not just for the Browns, but also for the Steelers. But I'll speak from the Browns' perspective that this week is still something that counts because, for the obvious reasons, 133 miles that separate these two cities, the 122 times that they've played, and the, until recent years, the dominance that had been shared. I mean, it was a long time that the Browns owned the Steelers. And then from the 70s, the Steelers kind of took it back over. Then the Browns came back in the Cardiac Kid era and reclaimed that dominance that they had with Otto Graham and such before years ago. And then, so it swung, the pendulum has swung back and forth to help make it a great rivalry. Of course, of late, it has been mostly a Steelers-dominated thing. But it's still, and especially this year at 4-6, and I think Joey laid it out so well. I mean, I hope his scenario is great, that it's right down to that last game to
sure.
decide a wild card spot. But even if it doesn't get to that, it can still be, and it is tomorrow, or excuse me, Sunday, this weekend, Sunday, a case where you've got two teams fighting for their playoff lives, basically, in that division. And I think for the Browns' sake, the Ravens represent a great rival, too. But I don't think anything compares to Pittsburgh and Cleveland.
Well, what he's saying is the fact that since the year 2000, the Browns have only beaten the Steelers three times, which is very difficult to digest. And I think it's, overlook this Browns team. They are going to punch you in the mouth, and they will beat you Sunday. And listen, if I was a player, and I'm going to ask Gerard about this, but I know how that would affect me, that would make me think that we're not even important anymore. They think they own us. Well, the Baltimore Ravens thought that too. They came into our house. We sent them home with a loss.
Yeah.
I think that the way to make this a rivalry again is for the Browns to start asserting themselves and getting wins. It takes getting wins to turn this back into what it should be. And I'll tell you what, though, if you're sitting there and you're a betting man and you want to look out into get your crystal ball from the cleaners and look out the next 5 years, there is no doubt in my mind that the Browns are a team right now with the arrow pointing up, and the Steelers are an aging team that I believe the arrow is pointing down on.
Well, they don't move well on defense at all, and their secondary especially. That is why, again, you have to take advantage of those matchups, because you watch Troy Polamalu, you watch some of those other guys back there, they're not moving the way they once did. They don't move sufficiently to handle what I think is some pretty good athleticism, especially from Josh Gordon, especially from Jordan Cameron, that they're going to face on Sunday. All right, we are rolling this thing along. We want more of your shots, more of your calls. Dial us up, 216-578-0850. We know some of you are on the line still, and we will get to you. And again, bottom of the hour, you're going to hear from Eric Metcalf, former great Browns return man. He'll be in studio with us. You're going to hear from Greg Little on this show, about 150 or so, in the Inside the Locker Room segment. And you're also, in hour number two, going to hear from, you heard Nathan bring it up, Gerard Cherry, right around 2:40 on a Call Your Shot Friday. Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford.